All right, welcome to Jay's Talk.
After dark.
It's actually not after midnight here on the East Coast, so I feel like we can't quite do it like we do on the West Coast games. But either way, Jay's Talk is on the air. Show Ali with you. We're live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. You can give me a call. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text me as well. 590-590, name and location. The People's text line, always open. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. All right, look. Game two of the doubleheader is something we have to talk about. We'll probably talk about both games to a certain extent in the next little while here. Obviously, we'll talk about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He has been on an absolutely monstrous heater. I do want to give some kudos to Bowden Francis as well, but I mean, first, let's be honest. First things first, we got to talk about the trades the Jays pulled off today. So you heard Blair and Barker in game one of the doubleheader or post game one of the doubleheader on the first Jays Talk of the day. Justin Turner now a Seattle Mariner, Yusei Kikuchi and Houston Astros. We'll start with Turner since, again, Blair talked about it after game one. But first of all, I just wanted to say I wish him well. I hope he fits in with that clubhouse. And between him and Randy Arozarena, who actually hit his first home run as a Mariner tonight, I think, I'm sure the clubhouse will get that infusion of both hits, runs, and leadership that I'm sure they've been looking for, right? I spoke to Blake Murphy during the rain delay, and you can find that chat on the Jays Talk podcast feed from earlier this evening. But the Turner trade makes a lot more sense when you look at the competitive balance tax threshold, which, of course, allows the Jays to spread around their 2025 money a bit more. I mean, RJ Schreck, it's good to get something back for him. And I think there were cash considerations sent from the Blue Jays to Seattle. So we'll see what that ends up being. The whole CBT, i.e. the luxury tax threshold, it's kind of hard to really pin down exact numbers, you know, because these things go right to the dollar, essentially, and amounts are prorated and so on. But I think that's when I look at that, the benefit of the Justin Turner trade, I don't think it'll be because RJ Schreck plays for the Blue Jays. And he might at some point. Certainly, you don't want to rule it out. But I just mean when it comes to the actual return on that trade in terms of the tangible benefit, it's certainly from a money perspective. I don't think anyone's like, oh, Rogers, saving a couple of pennies here. I don't think anyone's going to say that to any degree. But when you look at what you're getting out of Justin Turner, and again, best of luck to him in Seattle, it's probably what it's going to be. But certainly, we have to spend some more time chatting about Yusei Kikuchi. Now that the entire return is known, they actually just made the trade official, about 20, 25 minutes ago. Obviously, we knew the trade was happening in between these two games of the doubleheader. The news coming down from Jim Bowden, who was the first to break the news, then confirmed by Ken Rosenthal and Jeff Passan and Mark Feinsand. But that came down before the first pitch of this second game. But we now know the whole return. As per Ben Nicholson-Smith and Shai Davidi of Sportsnet, the whole trade is Kikuchi for right-handed pitcher Jake Bloss, outfielder prospect Joey Loporfido, and infielder prospect Will Wagner. Now, according to Baseball America's midseason refresh, and, you know, you take these things with a grain of salt, but they just refreshed the midseason rankings because, you know, I think takes into account their performance over the course of certainly the whole season in the minors, and some of these guys, like Loporfido, have actually played in the majors, Bloss as well. But according to their midseason refresh, Bloss ranked as the number two prospect in the Astros organization, Loporfido ranked number 5, and Wagner ranked number 19. Now, I've been told that the Astros farm system is not viewed as that much better than the Blue Jays farm system when it comes to prospect ranking. So I think in that degree, in that sense, you take an even larger than usual grain of salt. But I gotta wonder, yes, you give Ross Atkins some credit, but did James Click absolutely fleece his former team, right? I mean, he works for the Blue Jays. He has got to be at least a little involved here. No, like he actually drafted both Wagner and Loporfido in 2021. So he would know them both extremely well. Ben Nicholson-Smith actually saying Bloss and Wagner are expected to head to AAA, while there is a good chance that Loporfido actually goes straight to the major league roster. So I think that's really interesting. I have to say as well, this is for sure the first time I think I have ever seen Ross Atkins' name trending on Twitter in any sort of positive manner. Honestly, like it trends on Twitter for not meaningless reasons, but for, I think, like the slightest of reasons, it'll trend on Twitter in like the most negative fashion. And again, let's be honest, it's probably deserved for a lot of times, but boy, you look at it tonight and it's real positive. You want to take the rankings with a grain of salt, but all of those guys, again, Blas number 2, Lo Perfido number 5, Wagner number 19, all from the Astros organization's rankings, according to Baseball America. But you take them with a grain of salt, but I got to think that's an absolutely massive return for a guy who is an expiring contract. No? Like, Astros fans seem to absolutely hate the trade. So I also hope that Kikuchi doesn't get the old Dalton Varsho treatment in Houston, because it does not seem to be very popular. I'll say this in that regard. I hope Kikuchi shoves for the Astros. I have no love for Houston, certainly, and I'm willing to bet you guys don't either, but I do quite enjoy Kikuchi as both a player and person, and I think he'll find his early season form. He probably also, which will help him certainly, but he has a lot of firepower behind him to pick him up when things go a little awry, right? Like, Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker, Jose Altuve. I know there's some injuries in there and so on, but oh, maybe some guy, Yordan Alvarez. So I'm hopeful he does well for them. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to the phones. 590-590, name and location as well. That's the people's text line. Let's go to the phones. Ryan in Innisfil. Ryan, what's up?
What's up to you, show? How are you, buddy?
Good, man. What's up tonight with you?
Oh, you know, not a whole lot. Just finished bar shift, watched both games, and just have a few points that I want to talk about today.
Sure.
The first one, I want to give, I'll do it, I'll be the guy, I'll give a slight pat on the back to the front office for the trade deadline here.
Right.
But the you say one, as you were just saying, was, well, I can't believe what we got back from them, to be quite honest with you. And even, like, what we got back for Nate Pearson, he's never had an ERA below 3, and we, like, fleeced some, like, decent prospects. I'm like, good young kids as well. So I gotta give my flowers to the front office for that. But in the same breath, I gotta say, if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is not signed to whatever blank check contract he wants to get by the end of this season, I will have completely lost faith in this front office. And man, you might see me in the Detroit Tigers hat, because that's the other closest team to this city. I will have lost complete faith in them if they're unable to sign Vladdy. Like, when you look at, like, maybe he's not a Hall of Famer, but if you look at, like, his body of work, if he continues to even be, like, a 25, 90 RBI guy with a 270, 800 OPS every single season, there's a few guys in the Hall that have those exact same numbers. So you're essentially just giving up on a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. I think that kid he's 24 years old, so pay the man. He's incredibly talented, and I want to see him as a Jay for the rest of his career.
Hey, that's
Ryan. Yeah. Show, and it's fun to watch the Jays win some baseball games. I love it. Oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
This lineup without Bo Bichette rocks, man. It freaking rocks. We have kids that can do exactly what he does. Maybe not lead the league in hits, but you're telling me that we don't have guys that can play short the way he does? He's not very good at it, by the way. You're telling me we don't have guys that can't hit for average? Looks like we got a few. Spencer Horace is one of them. And Yerny Clement can play shortstop. And imagine what we could get back for Bo Bichette. You could rebuild your bullpen. You could rebuild your farm system. You could add a power bat to the lineup for a team that maybe needs someone that can bat 300. I don't think he needs to be here. I think Vladdy definitely needs to stay. And that's really all I got for you today, man. You're the best. Love you, buddy.
Sure. Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it, man. Cheers, man. Okay, look, a couple of things. I think Bo is probably not getting traded by tomorrow's deadline. 6 p.m. Eastern is the deadline, and Blair and Barker are actually going to be on the air, so they'll be able to react to everything, although I kind of wonder what's left at this point. I mean, a lot of things actually happened today, not just for the Blue Jays, but for around Major League Baseball, so unless, like, Garrett Crochet or Tarek Skubal get traded tomorrow, or, like, certainly for the Blue Jays, unless something even wilder happens, which we'll talk about, because I think the Kikuchi return has got to have you thinking about some other starting pitchers on this roster, at least entertaining offers. We'll get to that in a second, but Blair and Barker are going to have you covered all day tomorrow. I don't think Bo gets traded, because I think if you're trading him now, you are effectively trading him at his at like the floor value, right? Like, the value is right on the bottom of the floor. There's no room to lift it off the floor right now. So for that reason, I don't think it happens. But I can't help but think if he goes into next season without a contract extension, you have to feel like, you know, the conversations we had this year about guys like Kikuchi and Turner and Kiermaier and so on, like, that's the kind of conversation we're going to have, like, times a billion with Bo next year, right? So I have a feeling this it's going to be something we talk about more in the offseason, but between now and 6 p.m. on, which is less than 24 hours from now, on Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, I'm going to say it doesn't happen. On Vladdy, though, boy, like, I'm not sure we actually have to spend a ton of time on Vladdy, because the truth is he's just been unbelievable. He's just been absolutely ludicrous. Game one, he goes yard for his 20th home run of the season. In that game, he goes 3 for 5, including that home run. He scores 2 runs as well. One thing I actually did like, and I bet you guys liked it too, he declined the home run jacket when they were down 10-4. So kudos to Vladdy for that. I'm sure that'll make some people happy. In game two, 4 for 5 with a walk as well. Those 4 hits were comprised of a monster home run and 3 doubles. And I mean, if you hear some of the sounds that the ball made coming off of his bat, they sounded like explosions. It was absolutely crazy. MLB put it all together, 7 for 10, 2 doubles, 2 home runs, 5 RBI, 16 total bases for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. amongst the 2 games of this doubleheader. That is absurd. That is an absolutely absurd number. He spoke to, I think deservingly, after game two of the doubleheader, because, you know, they don't do walk-offs after you lose, but they lose 11-5 in game one. They win 7-4 in game two. And here is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. chatting on the field with Sportsnet's very own Hazel May.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr., 3 doubles, 2 singles, and home runs number 20 and 21. Guillermo Martinez told me the other day that what we're seeing is the Vladdy of 2021. What feels to you like you're the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. of 3 years ago now?
I mean, just, you know, I always come here early, try to do all my work, try to be simple every day, try to learn everything, and everything going my way right now. And thank God, everything going my way, and I'm going to keep going and keep play hard and do my thing to help the team to win.
Guillermo says you've been working really hard, Vladdy. So if you were to choose one thing that Guillermo said, try this or maybe make an adjustment here, what would that one thing really stand out to you?
My approach in the play, you know, my approach. Try to simplify, try to get a good pitch to him. And right now, that's the key. Try to get a good pitch to him. If they don't want to pitch me, I take my walk.
Listen, as the face of this Toronto Blue Jays franchise, Vladdy, this has been a day of mixed emotions for you and your teammates. You say Kikuchi has been traded to the Astros, Justin Turner to the Mariners. You say when he said goodbye to his teammates in the clubhouse, it was very emotional for him. For you, you and Yusei have always had a very close relationship. What are your thoughts on this day?
I mean, you know, this is business game. We have to understand this game, man. You know, this in the first game, they take him out, JT. I already know he got traded, you know. And after the game, before we come outside, they trade Kikuchi, you know. And to us, it's hard, but we have to understand, you know. And I hope that they can do it whatever they've been doing with us and do it with the other team.
If you can pick one thing that you take away from being Justin Turner's teammate, what would it be? What did you learn from JT?
I learned everything, you know. I learned everything. He gave me a lot of advice. You know, it's not how you, he always told me, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And one of the things is, like, always positive, always with me in the cage, always with everybody in the cage. So I feel very happy to play with him.
All right, Vladdy, continued success. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Dang, make Justin Turner the hitting coach then. He seems to, maybe after he retires after the end of the season, maybe bring him back to Toronto to help out the hitting coaches. I will say, I remember when, I've mentioned this interview a couple of times, but I remember when Blair and Barker were talking in the off season. So it was before they returned full time to do their everyday show, and they were just doing like weekly podcasts. And I remember Blair was talking, I remember this because I worked on this podcast with the guys while Boffo was off, deservedly so. And I remember we were awaiting a phone call from Justin Turner, and he didn't call in on time. And so I messaged the Blue Jays PR, and I was like, hey guys, everything okay? Like, I understand if things don't happen, like it happens, right? Everything all right? And they're like, oh yeah, no worries. So he, 10 minutes later, he calls in and he talks, I'm talking to him on the phone. And he goes, oh, sorry, I was just in the batting cages, just getting some work in. I'm like, man, that's the guy you want, right? Like, that's the guy who you want doing it. And he, later in that conversation with Blair, I think it might've been Barker who asked him the question, like, what do you want to see from Vladdy? And I remember the paraphrasing here, you can go back and listen on their podcast feed, but the paraphrased answer was something along the lines of, From Vladdy, he's so talented, but I want to, like, less is more from Vladdy. I wanted to see him doing less. And I think that's what we have seen from Vladdy in the last, like, in, on this heater, which I think spans beyond the, like, prior to the All-Star break, maybe like about a month or a month and a half ago at this point, when even going back to when he was hitting a lot but not hitting for power, which it feels like has been quite a chunk of time ago. But in that time ago, I just feel like he has actually done a little bit less. Now, you can credit whatever you want, right? I've heard people credit Teoscar Hernandez giving him some advice, and Vladdy seems pretty open to receiving advice from a lot of people, but that's really cool. It's cool to hear his perspective on Justin Turner and Yusei Kikuchi. This is from Sportsnet Stats, but after the third double of the night from Vladdy in the ninth, he leads Major League Baseball in a few categories since the All-Star break. He leads MLB with 7 home runs, 47 total bases. He has an MLB best slugging percentage of 1.146, so 1146. He has an MLB best OPS of 1709. That is wild. He is actually, if you can believe it, he is actually only 11 points back of his WRC plus from 2021. If you can believe that, truly. In 2021, he finished that season, which is honestly crazy that he finished the season like this, but he finished a 2021 season, the year he was runner-up to Shohei Ohtani for the AL MVP, WRC plus of 166, and after the double in the ninth inning, 155 on the season. It is crazy stuff from Vlad. Whenever I think of Vladdy during this ridiculous heater he's been on, I think of one of two things, and this is the first.
Do you know what Chuck Berry said every night before counting 1, 2, 3, 4?
What did he say?
Pay me my money.
Well, I'm sure my people will be
in cash.
It was either, I know, it's so dumb. It was either that or the show me the money scene with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Tom Cruise from Jerry Maguire. It was one of those two things. But pay me my money. Pay that man his money. He has been absolutely phenomenal. Let's go to the text line. 590-590, name and location. There's no name on this one, so shoot me your name so I can give you a shout out. But show obscene display of hitting for Vladdy in the doubleheader. The price tag just keeps going up. Tony from Kitchener, the Jays need to tie Vladdy down now. There was one here from Steven in Williams Lake, BC. Hope you're doing well, Steven. He says, are you ready to sign Vladdy long-term now? It's safe to say he's proven himself and is more than capable. Getting him signed long-term should be priority number one, no matter what it takes. I agree. I 100% agree. Let's go to the phones. 416-870-0590. 1-888-666-0590. Star 590 on your cell. Guy in Maple. Guy, what's up?
Hey, show. Good evening. Yeah, three quick things. Vladdy needs to get signed the day after the trade deadline on Wednesday. You get this thing done because, you know, if he's asking for $30, $35 million, that's nothing, because I'll tell you, at the end of the year, his trajectory is going to be Juan Soto-type numbers. And if Juan Soto is going to be asking for $45 million a year and Vladdy out-hits him on average, gets more base hits, and basically has the same amount of homers and RBIs, we're not going to get him for $30, $35 million. If that's what it takes, sign him now, or else this could be the biggest mistake this franchise makes, you know, since, geez, I don't even know how long. This guy's top four hitter. He's back. It took him a while, but he's back. Get it done. Number two, I know we got a nice haul for Kikuchi. That was nice to see. Another guy that nobody's talked about trading, and I honestly think they should, you know, I don't know if they've even tried to, but Jose Barrios, to me, is a number three in your starting rotation. He signed for, I think, 5 more years. He's making some decent money. He's tradable. If we can get what we got for Kikuchi, we'll get more for Barrios. And in the offseason, you got a couple guys in free agency that could slide in that I'd rather have over Barrios, like a Nathan Eovaldi or a Shane Bieber. Just want to know your thoughts on that. And then finally, if the Jays can't unload Kiermaier, I would ask Tampa Bay if, you know, if they're willing to work out some sort of deal, if that's where Kevin wants to finish his career. This guy is the classiest. He is exactly what a baseball player should be on and off the field. I don't think I've ever liked a player more than Kevin Kiermaier off the field, and his efforts on the field are unmatched. So I'll you got a lot to chew on there, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Guy, thanks for the call, man. As always, appreciate you staying up late for me. Okay, let's go backwards then. So Kiermaier first. I wonder, Kiermaier is an interesting one because they already put him through waivers, right? So it tells me that there's no one willing to trade for him. Not at all, but no one willing to trade for him at that amount of his salary. So I kind of wonder if they might not, they being the Blue Jays, might not just do him a solid and just cut him, essentially, right? Like, for I say this for a number of reasons, not because they don't want him or they think he's useless, for example. I think actually quite the opposite, because they know he's retiring. I kind of wonder if they might not do him a solid and say, okay, you know what? We're releasing you. You can sign with any team before the deadline, as the, like the cutoff before you can other teams can add players for the playoffs. You can go join a contender on a minimum deal. And I believe the way it works is if you cut a guy and then he's owed $10.5 million this year, it's prorated. So whatever the remainder of that money is, I'm not exactly sure, but let's just say that Kiermaier is owed, like, for the sake of this conversation, I'm just pulling these numbers out of thin air here, but let's say he's owed $5 million for the remainder of the season, and some team signs him for $1 million after the Jays release him, then the Jays would be on the hook for $4 million, right? And as we know, we talked about this briefly with the Turner thing, but when Justin Turner was traded, a big part of it, I think, is certainly getting under that CBT, the competitive balance tax, i.e. a luxury tax. So I think that is at least part of the consideration. I don't think it goes back to the Rays, because we just saw the Rays sell off, like, everyone and their mother, essentially, right? So they're not looking to compete this year. So if you think Kiermaier is going to go to a contender, I mean, I could see any number of contenders picking up Kiermaier, because even if he's not a starter, he could easily be a late inning replacement and be better than like 99% of outfielders out there. On the trades, certainly, I think I'll put it this way. This is the case for Berríos, it's the case for Bassett, and it's the case for Gausman to varying degrees because of their contract situation. Gausman and Berríos are under contract for far more term than Bassett is, which is why when I see the trades that the Jays made, not just today, but just in, you know, over the past couple of days, but certainly when you look at what Yusei Kikuchi netted the Blue Jays as an expiring contract, again, Jake Bloss, Joey LoPerfido, and Will Wagner, and we can go over some of the things I've learned about those three. And again, I'm not a prospect expert, so it's just things I've read online, but it tells me three things as to what the Jays are looking for when it comes to those, like that being the return they got, right? It tells me three things. One, teams are really desperate for starting pitching and will give up a lot to acquire someone, anyone, who might even be a bit good. That's the geese point. Two, the Astros, I think specifically to Kikuchi, the Astros clearly believe they can fix whatever has been ailing him over the past several starts. The news was that I saw on Twitter, I don't know if it was Chandler Rome who said this, but I'll look it up in the break, but the scuttlebutt was that the Astros actually knocked on the door of the Tigers to see what Jack Flaherty might cost and then pivoted away from Flaherty and went and grabbed Kikuchi. I mean, gosh, the Tigers probably kicking themselves they didn't trade Flaherty for all these guys, right? Or trade Flaherty for these guys. If you're the Blue Jays, though, number three, like Guy said, it's time to listen on some of these guys, right? I would more look at Bassett than Berríos, because I think they're probably both in the same span of being a number three starter. Bassett obviously is older than Berríos. He's under contract for less term than Berríos. So I would pick Bassett, but I mean, we've seen pitchers earn selling teams an absolute haul, right? Like, if that's what an expiring contract gets you, what would Bassett get you? Like, you have to, I'm not saying you have to trade him, but you have to at least have that conversation, because it's not a given, but the team would be silly to not listen, right? Gausman is under control through, I believe, 2026. So you'd also listen to asks on him, and same Berríos. It's a pretty long term, because he was signed for like 7 years when they made that deal a couple of seasons ago. But the ask would have to be astronomical. If you were to pull the trigger on him being traded, Bassett being older, but also with just a year left of control, I just think there's a lot of value there, right? Like, it's probably skews more unlikely than likely, but you got to at least listen. And I think to wrap up on this point, it does matter on a few other guys and their availability, right? Like Flaherty, is he getting traded? Is Tarek Skubal getting traded? Is Garrett Crochet getting traded? Because if they are, then you're going to, like, you being another team, you're going to look at those guys first. Flaherty, because he's an expiring deal, so that's on one end of the spectrum. And on the other end of the spectrum, Skubal and Crochet, because they're under contract for longer and because they're excellent pitchers and are Cy Young level talents, it would seem, right? But if Kikuchi nets you the kind of return that he did, then you got to think that Skubal and Crochet are probably going to, like, gut the farm system of most teams with the return it would take to pry them away from either the Tigers or White Sox, respectively, unless it was like a team like the Dodgers pulling the trigger. So I don't know, if teams are unwilling to deal players for those guys, they might be willing to go to slightly less for Bassett, who I think would be sure to help a contending team, and you'd still get a haul back versus, like, it's just the value between Flaherty, Bassett, and then, like, Crochet and Skubal, they're all in their own different tiers, which I find really interesting. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590. 866-590, star 590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Adam in Thornhill. Adam, what's up?
Joe, how are you, buddy?
Good, man. How's it going?
Good. Long day of work. Just coming home.
I feel you.
Just heard the Kikuchi trade, so wanted to say a couple of things. First of all, I don't want to be that guy. You're a nice guy, and you do a great job on the show. But I got to tell you, I called you a few weeks ago, and I told you Guerrero's gonna start with a four. It's gonna hurt. It's gonna be painful. And you look at it now; he's already making $20 million this year. He's probably gonna make somewhere between 25, 27 in arbitration for next year. So you're looking at probably 13 years and $30 million per year. That's about $390 million. That's right around 400. That's what you're going to be looking at, between 360 and 400 for him. For Bo, you're going to be looking at between 280 and 340. And that's a bit of a wider range because he's had a down year. But let's remember, this is a guy who's had 5 years where he's averaged 25 home runs, 92 RBIs, 15 steals, and 191 hits. That is not something that you can just erase with 3 months of injuries and bad baseball. I'm sorry. I'm not out on Bo. He is a superstar. He's only 26. The defense can get better. We saw it with Marcus Semien when he went from Chicago to Oakland, and he was the worst defensive shortstop, became the best defensive shortstop while working with Ron Washington, and won the Gold Glove as the shortstop of the Oakland A's. And there's nothing to say that if he signed Bo long-term that you couldn't eventually move him over to second 5, 6, 7 years
sure.
from now. So that's number one. Number two, it's a good return for Kikuchi, okay? Obviously, the book's still out, but yes, on paper, it is the right return. But it just shows you how robust this market is. So right now, great job, but you got to keep going forward. You got to keep moving, guys. And I would be calling Dave Dombrowski right now, and I would say, take Kiermaier, take Chad Green. Give them a chance to win the World Series. If it's too costly for them, I'm glad to eat the money for the remainder of the year because I've already come under the salary cap to get the better prospect. Dave Dombrowski is not afraid to pull the trigger and give up a prospect. He gave two starting pitchers, young starting pitchers in their system for Carlos Estevez the other day. And he's on an expiring contract, and he's not a young spring chicken either. You could slot Kiermaier right into center field on that team, and Marsh and Hayes can platoon in left. I mean, they're just the rich get richer. So there's one idea. And, Bassett as well. I mean, if you look at what the Rays got for Zach Eflin, you tell me what the difference between Zach Eflin and Chris Bassett. They're
sure.
similar profiles in terms of being a solid number three. And the Orioles are a young team. They have lots of young players. That's when they need veterans. I would not be going after Garrett Crochet, especially after the comments he made. I'm not paying that price. I would much rather pay a lower price and get the Jays somewhat satiated with prospects and go get Chris Bassett. Thanks for the call, or thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. Always appreciate hearing from you. So again, a couple of things. So I'll say this. I do think with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the better he plays over a longer period of time, which he continues to do, the price tag is going to go up. I feel like there's got to be an upper limit, though. No, just because I feel like the market dictates that. Like certainly there's a possibility that someone out there will give him like $400 million or something. It's just that there aren't many players who get that kind of money. And I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is a Juan Soto type player who, again, is going to get like $600 million from someone, probably the Mets or Yankees. It seems pretty exceedingly likely it'll be one of those two teams. Maybe the Blue Jays, who knows? But my point is that I think Juan Soto and Shohei, for example, are in their own category. But if Vladdy keeps playing like this, he's going to play himself into that category. But He has said all along via a variety of insiders that the number starts with a three, right? So I think we're well past the days of that number starting with two now. He's done too much this season, I think, for that to be the case, unless there is like a massive precipitous fall off between now and the end of the season. And I mean, let's be honest, even if that did happen, barring some kind of injury, people would probably be willing to overlook it based on what he's done for the vast majority of 2024. So that's certainly something. But yeah, I mean, I think if you're paying him anywhere between, I've said $25 million a year is like the bare minimum that he's going to get. But, you know, I think it's a valid point to bring up that he'll be signing a contract extension, even if it's next year when he's a free agent. But anytime before that, at a way younger age than anyone else has done it, right? Like at a way younger age than Bryce Harper did. I mean, Bryce Harper, I guess, would have been close to that age, but a way younger age than Matt Olson would have done it, or Freddie Freeman would have done it, or Pete Alonso or Paul Goldschmidt or any of these guys. So to say that he should get less, though he's younger and is actually performing better or the same or better than a lot of those guys you just mentioned at the times they signed their contract extensions, then he is going to get more than $25 million a year. But even if it's like $30 million a year, right? 30 times 10 is, here's some simple math for you, is $300 million. So yeah, I think Adam is right, pardon me, that, you know, if you're looking at 12 years at $30 million a year, that's $360 million. And I mean, that sounds right. Right? That sounds about right to me. Maybe there'll be some incentives in there or some benchmarks for him to get to. But like between that, like $340 to $360 million, if you're signing him for that length of time, seems about right to me. I don't think it starts with a four. I just, mainly because there's like only a handful of players in any sport who get $400 million, right? I mean, not even like quarterbacks in the NFL don't get that much money, right? And I get it. The NFL is a bad example because it's a salary capped league, as are the other two sports as well, NBA, NHL. But that's really only the reason I don't think he's going to get that much money. Having said that, if he does what he does for the rest of the season, then he's going to get paid a whole whack of cash. On the Kiermaier thing, I think you do have to trade, or at least see if anyone's willing to take him. But again, just because of the waivers thing, I have a feeling no one's going to say, yeah, we'll give up prospects for him. But I mean, maybe you do package him with a Chad Green. I mean, they're both making a fair amount of money, so I think it would be harder. I see a Tango in Ottawa texted me here on the text line. He says, with a deadline tomorrow, do you expect the Jays would move Chad Green? I'll say this. I don't think it would be the same return. And Adam mentioned this as Estevez, right? Because he's a closer. Chad Green, I think, can be used as a closer if you need to, but he's not. I would argue that he is not a true closer in the same way that Estevez is, in the same way that Emmanuel Clase is, in the same way that Camilo Doval is. You know what I mean? Like those guys are. I just think closers, I feel like it's a very narrow definition of what closers are, even though in theory, like technically, if you come in the ninth inning and you end a ball game, you're a closer, right? Like that's the literal definition. But just in the way they would use Chad Green, I feel like he's probably best used as like the holds guy or the setup guy, or, you know, just the general fireman that's not in the ninth inning, which I think by definition would make him not a closer. So I bet you're not going to get not a lot, but you're not going to get as much as other teams got for like a Hunter Harvey, maybe Hunter Harvey returned perhaps actually, but you're not as much as two top pitching prospects in Estevez. But I do think it's worth exploring that. I'm not sure the relief market is going to continue being as robust, but it has been far more robust than I ever thought it would be going into the deadline. And I guess this is why you never see trades get made in like April, May, June, right? Because everyone's like waiting until the nth moment. They're waiting until like the last possible second before they make any sort of move. Let's read some more text on the text line. 590-590, name and location. Let's see here. Edin Aurelia, Vladdy's trade value will never be higher than it is now. If you get a great haul for him, go for it, because his great years come around as often as the Olympics. I get that you can make the criticism of Vladdy, but I don't know why you'd want to trade him. Like, don't you, like, the other thing is, if you trade Vladdy, and it's not going to happen, really, but if you trade Vladdy, who is left to watch on this team? Like, who's the next most watchable player on this team? It's Spencer Horwitz? Is that who it is? Like, I actually don't know. I want to know from you guys. Is it David Schneider? I don't know, right? So I honestly wonder, like, if that has got to be a part of any equation when it comes to trading Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And the truth is, it's just not going to happen, because you're never going to get enough. Like, if you haven't seen any of the absolute top-end prospects be moved for other guys, and again, Vladdy is probably better than literally anyone who's been traded at the deadline so far this year. I think I saw Jorge Soler was just traded to the Braves. And I mean, what, Jorge Soler, he was the World Series MVP for the Braves not that long ago, so they clearly know him, so there's clearly a bit of an impetus there to get someone back. There's some familiarity with Alex Anthopoulos. But I mean, like, you're not getting the top end players getting traded. So I would be stunned if he gets traded. And frankly, I don't think he should get traded. Witt in Brights Grove, Ontario. Witt says, show the Kikuchi trade reeks of James Click's influence here. You can't discredit the haul. Have the reins been handed over to Click over Atkins as we speak? I'll say, I don't know, but I would be shocked if Click did not have some kind of influence in this, right? I mentioned this off the top when we were talking, but Click drafted. Both of, who was it? I believe it was Loperfido and Wagner. That's right. He did, I don't know if he drafted Jake Bloss, but he did draft Will Wagner and Joey Loperfido. So, hey, I mean, you got to think he knows them really, really well. Maybe that does mean that if another team had come knocking, maybe they wouldn't have gotten those guys back. But I would be stunned if James Click did not have at least some hand in this. But keep the questions coming. 590, 590, name and location. You can also reach me via phone as well, as you know, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590. On your cell, those are the numbers to call. We're here for another couple of minutes on Jays Talk. Jays split the doubleheader 7-4. We're also having kind of a trade deadline edition of Jays Talk here. Again, reach me on the phones, reach me via the text line. Jays Talk returns after this on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Discuss as a family with that, but yeah, again, like, my family loved it in Toronto, you know, my wife and especially like my son as well, you know, he's been saying, you know, he doesn't want to move away from Canada, so yeah, so that makes it a little bit tough for me, but yeah, we'll discuss what we're gonna do moving forward.
That is the interpreter speaking on behalf of Yusei Kikuchi, who spoke mid-game actually once this trade was confirmed to the media out in Baltimore. But of course, Yusei Kikuchi being traded to the Houston Astros right before first pitch of game two, coming back for Kikuchi, and the trade was made official right before the end of the ball game today, game two. But coming back, right-handed pitcher Jake Bloss, outfielding prospect Joey Loperfido, and infielder prospect Will Wagner. Welcome back to Jays Talk here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali here with you for another scant few minutes across the network. Still some time to reach me on the text line, 590-590, name and location. Standard data and messaging rates may apply. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Those are the numbers for you to call. Before we go back to the phones and the text line, I wanted to get to this real quick. This was some things I learned about the guys who were coming back in the trade for Kikuchi. Now, of course, like, prospect rankings, they're not the be-all, end-all. Frankly, prospect counting, I think, is a kind of a tough proposition, just because, you know, you never really know what happens with trades, right? Like, sometimes the guys turn out to be great. Sometimes they don't. I mean, that's just the reality of prospect evaluation and the growth not being super linear, I think, just in life as a more philosophical comment, but just certainly in baseball, that's the case. But a couple of things about all three of these guys. So Jake Bloss in the minors this year, 1.64 ERA, 66 innings pitched, 31 hits, and 63 strikeouts. So 31 hits over 66 innings pitched. That is incredible, right? He profiles as a mid-rotation starter, is the note. And he did come up for a cup of coffee in the majors earlier in the year because, of course, as we discussed, or I guess as we have discussed over the course of the whole season, but the Astros have just been ravaged by injuries in their starting rotation, which is why they went out and even got Kikuchi in the first place. But the time for them is now, right? The time for them is now because they have a lot of older guys. Guys are going to be free agents soon, and they're probably towards the end of their World Series window after having a lot of losses over a short period of time in the 2010s and right before that. So it makes sense why they're going all in, but and certainly even just from a micro perspective, you look at what the Mariners have been doing. They've been loading up as well. So quite the arms race in that division between those two teams, and we'll see what the Rangers do. The Rangers might actually be sellers for all we know, but you look at Jake Bloss, mid-rotation starter, certainly a good thing. Joey Loperfido also had a cup of coffee in the majors this year. If you remember when Jose Abreu was struggling mightily, so when he was called up earlier in the season, briefly, he was leading all of AAA with 13 home runs in 39 games. That's incredible as well. He is a power-hitting corner outfielder, have some good grades for power and speed. He's viewed as a decent defender. And Will Wagner, who turned 26-year-old, today, actually, July 29th is his 26th birthday. So I guess it's now on the East Coast. It's after midnight. So I guess yesterday was his birthday, depending on where you are. But I guess happy birthday to Will Wagner because he was just traded to the Blue Jays. But he's the son of Billy Wagner, who honestly might very well get into the Hall of Fame next year, for all we know. I think the cutoff in the percentage you need to get into the Hall of Fame is like 75. And I think he was at like 72 or 68% or something like that. He was very, very, very close. So I kind of wonder, in a year where only Ichiro Suzuki and CeCe Sabathia might be like the only locks. Maybe Billy Wagner gets into the Hall of Fame. Will Wagner, his son, though, slash line of 307, 424, 429, more walks than strikeouts. He's a left-handed hitting first or second baseman. Here's the description from MLB Pipeline. So it says here, and of course, the first thing they mentioned too is he's the son of Astros all-time saves leader, Billy Wagner. Kind of funny, but it says here, Wagner doesn't stand out with his tools, but he has one of the best approaches in the system, makes repeated contact to all fields with a compact left-handed swing, doesn't generate exciting exit velos, produces too many grounders. He gets on base consistently via hits and walks. He has a high baseball IQ. He's a below-average runner. He's opportunistic on the bases. He's a sure-handed defender, and he has the two primary positions, second and perhaps third. He could perhaps carve out a big league role with his on-base skills as he bounces around the infield. Look, I'm not here to tell you who that sounds like, but to me, that sounds like a lot like another son of a former Astros great who played for the Blue Jays not too long ago. I'm just saying, like, I feel like you could use that description to almost exactly describe Kevin Biggio, but who knows? I mean, this guy's not that young either in terms of being 26 years old. But again, I think it's an interesting throw-in when it comes to, maybe throw-in's a harsh word, but an interesting addition to the trade. I also wonder, and this is not just for the Kikuchi thing, but just in general, over all the rentals, right? The Jays now acquiring 11 players for four rentals and Nate Pearson, who is not considering a rental because he has some term beyond this offseason. But how important is it for the Jays to grab a whole ton of controllable players pre-arbitration who can come up and play like soon-ish, like the Jonathan Classes and the Loperfidos and so on, those guys in the system now? How important is it for them to grab guys who are pre-arb? You know, you combine that with the fact that they actually clear a ton of salary, albeit salary that was likely gone once they became free agents in the offseason, but salary that was moved and replaced by guys who are pre-arb, right? Like, that has got to be good in a couple of senses, both for free agents in the winter or extensions for a guy like Vladdy or Bo Bichette, right? Like, barring a truly absurd ask from one or both of them, like, unless Vladdy goes out and wants like $50 million a season, I guess he could. Like, we don't actually know what he wants, but let's say that's what he wants. Maybe that's not untenable, but I just mean, like, if he's asking for anything that is like relatively reasonable, and I bet he probably is. It's just the team has been clearing salary like crazy. I mean, there's no reason you can't give Vladdy the raise he's been looking for, right? Like, to be sure, there was no reason you couldn't do before. I'm not saying you were somehow prevented from doing it before, but if at least a partial goal of front office and ownership, and again, no one's crying for ownership, no one's crying for front office. Like, you got to get it done. It's not the, what does Donaldson say? It's not the try league, it's the get it done league. So if no one's crying for ownership, certainly. But if the partial goal was to give from ownership to give the front office as much money as possible, but with the instruction to not go over the luxury tax threshold, then I would think the way they have gone about business at the deadline at least makes the job of offering gigantic extensions to Vladdy and Bo, if you think that's the case, easier than it otherwise would have been, right? So that's a nice side effect, and it might not even be a side effect. It certainly could be intended, but I just think that's something to keep in mind as we go forward, because it might make the extension talks super easier, right? Super easier. Let's go back to the text line, 590-590, name and location. Let's see here. Tango in Ottawa. Tango says, another question, Chad. Oh, that's right, because Tango texted about Chad Green earlier. He says, another question. Chad Green has been consistent coming out of the bullpen, not like the other gas cans you don't know for blowing saves. You know, he has been pretty consistent, but he's not like immortal, right? Like, we literally saw, I'm not holding this against him. I'm just saying, like all closers, he blows saves sometimes because everyone does it. And again, I think, in my opinion, it's because Chad Green is not like a true closer like Emmanuel Clase, but he's pretty good. And I mean, you could still certainly use him as the Blue Jays have been in that capacity if you absolutely need to. So again, I'm not saying you don't trade him. I'm just saying, I wonder if you were to trade him, the return might not be as much as you're seeing for some of these other guys who are being dealt. But hey, I mean, again, if that's what the return is for a lot of these other players, you have to explore it. Like, it'd be irresponsible not to explore it. Let's put it that way. I see another text here. Let's see. JR from Bowmanville. JR says, who cares what it costs? Sign Vladdy now. If we lose him, this franchise is toast. Then he says, hashtag Blue Jays 2025 believe. Oh, maybe that'll be the hashtag for next year. Maybe they'll bounce off of to the core. Maybe that'll be what it is. Look, he has to get resigned. Like trade value for Vladdy, I feel like that it's like a moot point. There's no point. Like you're basically looking away from the future of this ball club if you decide to trade Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Like you're going to win more games with Vladdy than not. And I know a lot of people. I've seen some texts on the text line, not tonight, but just generally speaking. I've seen a lot of texts in the last little while saying, oh, well, look at the Angels. The Angels didn't win jack squat with Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. And like, you're right. You're absolutely right. You cannot. I'm not saying that's not a possibility or a factor, but you probably will also win more games with Vladdy than not having Vladdy. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like the Angels thing was an indictment of the Angels' ability to build around those two guys. And that could very well be the case for Toronto. But then if they fail to build around, like, not Vladdy, then you're in an even worse situation, right? So that's where I fall on things. You got to keep Vladimir Guerrero Jr. David in St. Albert says, Astros Twitter is pure gold tonight. Make Jays fans seem calm. That's pretty funny, actually. I will admit, I have seen a couple of tweets from Astros fans around just on social media, like just random people, right? But, boy, I'll tell you, like, a lot of people are saying that Jake Bloss would have been more than enough to give up for Kikuchi, and that on the other side, Joey LaPerfido would have been more than enough to give up for Kikuchi. And now, like, you know, like take the evaluations of fans who are probably not prospect experts with a grain of salt, certainly as well. But boy, it probably makes you feel a little bit better about it. I know it like doesn't matter in any sort of way. Like it has no bearing on like what takes place in reality. But I do kind of find it funny. Matt and Markham. Matt says, I think a great comp contract for Vladdy starts with Devers' contract, $31 million per year, 10 years, both UFAs at age 27. I do that contract in a heartbeat. I would say, I don't disagree with you, Matt. I would say the only difference is that Devers plays third base, right? I think that's the only major difference for the two of them. But certainly age-wise, it makes sense. Production-wise, largely makes sense as well. Rafael Devers also considered one of the better players in Major League Baseball. Absolutely. I remember there was a conversation actually out of Red Sox land maybe the family wouldn't re-sign Devers, right? So I think that was definitely a consideration. But no, I think that's a good place to start. But just the third base, first base difference. And yeah, I mean, Vladdy's played more third base recently. I think that's definitely something to definitely something to consider. Before we go, by the way, just very quickly, got to give some kudos to Baden Francis, right? 5 2/3, 6 hits, 3 runs, all of which were earned, 1 walk, 2 strikeups. Yes, he gave up 2 home runs, but only 3 runs over 5 2/3 to one of the best teams in baseball after not pitching in the majors for a couple of weeks. Would you take that from your nominal fifth starter? Yes. I think the answer to that question is a solid yes. And I'll tell you what, Kikuchi's not a Blue Jay anymore. So you're going to see more of Baden Francis. Like, whether you like it or not, you're going to see more of Baden Francis. But I think after him pitching so well in the minors recently, for him to do that against the Orioles in Baltimore, I got to say, very impressed. Good for Baden Francis. He deserves to get another shot. And Yariel Rodriguez did not pitch well in game one, but he's been so good prior to game one today that, again, you're going to see these guys probably a lot down the stretch. Hey, appreciate you all being with me on Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Kitchener and Waterloo, New Brunswick. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection. For Eric Smith, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Andrew Adams, I'm Shoah Lee. That does it for us. I'm out of here. Blair and Barker, they are back tomorrow for a post-trade deadline edition of the post-game show. They have you covered all week on their own show as well. Barring another rain delay changing things, I am back on the weekend. So have a great night, everyone. I'll talk to you later. Pay me my money.